To us from Washington, D.C., and Wendell Potter, former executive for the health insurance companies Cigna and Humana. He's executive editor of Healthcare Uncovered and author of the books Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans, and also the book Nation on the Take, how big money corrupts our democracy and what we can do about it. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Latino New Yorkers were 8 times more likely to be arrested for cannabis than white New Yorkers over the past 30 years. Black New Yorkers, 15 times more likely. White, black, or brown, data shows we all use cannabis at the same rate. Now New York has changed course and legalized cannabis for adults 21 and over. We are building an equitable industry that invests in communities. Learn more and visit cannabis.ny.gov.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's a Tuesday evening. It's 6 o'clock. It's time for another exciting episode of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
Boy, you know, you're a magician. I have to just say that. To get us on the air tonight, what you had to do...
I thought you might bring this up.
Yeah, nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever witness it. But I watched as we had all kinds of crises with... let's just say the crux of the matter was a Windows machine that decided now is a good time to update. And this update would take about an hour and a half without warning anyone. And it literally made it up to the moment where we had to go on the air. But you had a backup plan, and we used the backup plan for a couple of seconds and then went into the usual plan. It's just this chaos that was going on, but you had two plans, maybe even more.
Yeah, I like feeling like I'm functioning and vital and useful to the situation. It took me a second to figure out what we needed, but it was stuck, like, at a very low percentage, and I was thinking, like, okay, we have less than 10 minutes. Maybe they'll just jump up and finish, like, who knows? But, so I had to fix some outputs that were configured one way and bypass the computer and go to, like, the old way, shall we say. It was a mono version of what we're doing, that we'd used some, maybe on occasion for travel, but mostly at the beginning of remote stuff. So it was really interesting to...
Because we are in stereo.
Yes. We evolved to stereo, ultimately, upgrading some things and working with the different options that we had and telling other people about it. Other people at the great community radio station, WUSB Stony Brook, which these days... is really embracing the facilities, revitalizing stuff that formats that we've got from way back, but also empowering people to broadcast from all kinds of places, do pre-recorded shows, do all kinds of different experimental radio, which is the essence of free format and what college stations encourage.
Yeah, it's incredible because this station lost half of its budget from the students at Stony Brook. I don't want to get into how something like that happened, but basically there's a lot of unappreciation of what radio is, and people seem to think podcasts are the answer. And I guarantee you, if you just go out and sample all the podcasts that are out there, you'll realize that there's something that involves coordination and themes and a lot of people working together far outshines anything that we can all do from our computers onto the internet. Yeah, there's some great podcasts out there, for sure. Some of them even make it into a radio show. In fact, I guess, you know, we're a podcast because we broadcast onto the internet as well. We've been doing that for a long, long time. But it's not a replacement. And unfortunately, the people that handle the budget here seem to think that, oh, yeah, you don't need a radio station because you can just do a podcast. Well, I guarantee these people have not listened to the radio. They don't appreciate what radio is. And so many people throughout the world, throughout history, know the importance of radio. And that's why, you know, the support that we've received from our listeners is so vital. Our fundraiser is over, but that doesn't mean you can't still contribute. WUSB.FM is our website. Please donate whatever you can. You know, it's a real black eye for us to lose all that. But, you know, I just want to say the spirit of this place, how did we react? Our good friend Steve Kay, the first one, not the second one. We have two Steve Kays at the station, believe it or not. Worked with our chief engineer Frank to basically build a new studio or basically reclaim an old studio and make it a working studio again. Just volunteer effort. That is how we react to crises. We make things better. We don't just try and stay afloat. We try and get up into the air and just make the place as good as possible. And your support matters so much. And we have something exciting to announce, but first, I'm turning back to Kyle.
Yeah. Well, we're using a space that's still under construction, still a new space, relatively speaking, for a station that is so storied, but I've heard really fantastic new programming and new music here this semester, quarter? I don't know how they
measure
time.
It depends on who you are. I mean, but students measure it by semester. Community members measure it by, I guess, year.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's a consistent machine that just keeps plodding forward, and that's the awesome thing.
And creating more spaces, or it's just like especially realizing space you already have. I think everybody can be down with that. And
right.
just for a station that, you know, has the kinds of tools and equipment that you don't necessarily have. But I think also, like, the programming conventions for a podcast are completely different than the programming conventions for radio. And I think that radio programming conventions, and I mean, like, everything, style, technical, pacing, structure, writing, storytelling, background, you know, themes, all of that, interstitial music, or whatever it is, setting up a conference, setting up a live production, that is so transferable to the podcast world. I don't know that a lot of the conventions of podcasting in that broad umbrella really apply or transfer to radio as well. When you've done as much live radio or tried to program a show in that way, you're really, really well suited to sit down and do something for what would be, I guess, internet distribution, a podcast, so-called podcast. But I've learned so much just volunteering, helping out, actually walking across the threshold of the door of a radio station, visiting the space, looking at how it's set up, if you're a technical person, absorbing what it is. I don't know that much. Like, there's so much more I'm learning that I want to learn about audio engineering and recording, just the electrical side of audio chains and stuff like that, like setting up new equipment, testing things out, integrating communication systems like phones and stuff. That's impressive stuff, and I've learned all of that by proximity to an actual factual transmitting station. I don't know that I would have gained as many of those skills. And then also a sense of live, like, hey, we have to have a backup, like, now, you know. And
we
what,
just did that.
And
wow.
What connector, what cable, what format, like, can you just pull it up and do the exact same thing that you've built in somewhere to do it, you know, from the palm of your hand or something very quickly? And learning how to integrate off-the-shelf stuff, those are skills that are super applicable to so many other fields.
Let me just remind people, if you enjoy what you're hearing, please click the like and subscribe buttons.
We're not
a podcast. We don't do that.
That is not a convention of this program.
Yeah, you can get us wherever the hell you get your podcast. Well, actually, you can, but basically 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM and WUSB.FM. Those are the ways to listen to the radio station. And it's not just one program. It's 100 programs. It's an incredible amount. And variety and history and all sorts of things like that. You know, the way I look at it, a radio station is where your mind expands, where you come and you do a show and you learn from the people around you, and your opinions and values and ideology, it all shifts and changes. Podcast, you pretty much are saying what you believe and just saying that and doubling down over and over and over again and just getting more like-minded people. And sorry, we have to break for a commercial now and that kind of crap. So we don't do that. It's not the same thing. Yeah, you can merge the two worlds together, sure. And there is some compatibility there. But to replace one with the other, no, that just does not work. Remember, radio is a finite thing. There's only a certain amount of frequencies out there. Good luck trying to find one that isn't already grabbed by a commercial entity or religion or NPR or whatnot. We're one of the few exceptions of a campus and community that just get together, and on pennies a day, we're able to somehow survive. We've been doing that since 1977. In fact, even before that, as a carrier current AM station, we were broadcasting since, I think, the 60s. That's how we got that Jim Morrison ID. But a lot of people ask that. If you didn't go on the air until 1977, how do you have a Jim Morrison ID? Well, it's because when he was still alive, we were an AM carrier current station, and somebody thought to record him saying that because, believe it or not, the Doors played at Stony Brook. In fact, everybody played at Stony Brook back in the 60s and 70s. I digress. Okay, important announcement. Exciting announcement. Historic announcement. We've been doing this show for quite a while. And since 2020, when the great pandemic hit, we stopped going into the studio. We stopped being able to take phone calls because, you know, the phones are in the studio and we couldn't figure out how to get access to them. Thanks to Kyle and thanks to some new hardware that we have now, we are now able to take phone calls here at our undisclosed location. In fact, multiple locations that we may visit, we can take the hardware with us and take phone calls. So that means starting tonight, if you so desire, you can call us and speak on the air, and we can speak back to you, and we can have a nice little conversation. Here's some information, though. If you're already dialing, stop. Stop that dialing right now, because you don't know what you're doing. You're dialing the wrong number, because we haven't given you the number yet. It's not the studio number. No, it's not the studio. In fact, it's not even in the area code of Suffolk County, which is 631. In fact, it's not even in New York State. It might be an area code you've never dialed before. But don't panic, because these days, it doesn't matter. Pretty much every cell phone plan allows you to call anywhere in the country, and it's all the same. It's sad but true. So, if you want to call us, the phone number, are you ready? Is everyone ready? Okay, because it's important. It's area code 802. Yes, that's Vermont. Don't ask. 802-321-4225. 802-321-4225. If you call that number now, you will reach us, and we will put you on the air, and you can talk to us, and let's keep it civil. Now, if somebody calls, and then you call, we haven't figured out a way to turn off call waiting, so you're going to go somewhere else, and we don't know where you are, and we can't get you. And you might hear a recording that has nothing to do with this particular radio show or radio station. I don't even know what it sounds like. But if you get that recording, or if somebody else is on the air while you're calling, then please hang up and call back when that call is over, because that's the only way we'll ever connect. So again, you know, it was always a struggle at WUSB to get people to call in ever since I did shows in the 1980s. It was always kind of a challenge, but it was fun, and the calls we got were generally good. Off the wall, also a challenge. Sometimes, you know, nobody. In fact, I fully expect nobody to call tonight. I do.
What was that number again?
802-321-4225. And if nobody calls, that's fine. But, you know, we have the ability now. And that is a milestone. That's a big milestone. So I'm very happy that we're able to do that. We can have all kinds of guests and remotes and things like that. Just to prove, Kyle, are you able to pick up the phone so that I can prove there's a dial tone there? There, you see? I'm not making this up. We really did it. We connected the phone to this. So, yeah, if you want to talk to us about anything, 802-321-4225. Now, you can't react to what we're talking about because we haven't started talking about anything, so I guess we can just begin that. Why is another computer rebooting, Kyle?
Don't worry about that.
No, I am worried about that because we're being plagued by rebooting computers lately. Yeah, I cannot stand how they decide when they're going to do it. And they might tell you, oh, you can choose, but if you don't choose quickly enough, they'll just go ahead and do it anyway.
What they decided is that they have some holiday shopping they got to do. They're going to finish getting these out before the holidays really kick into high gear. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So we've had some interesting news this week. And by the way, the ringer is on, right? Because...
it is.
Okay. I just want to make sure, since I'm not hearing anything, that we are, in fact, going to get a call. 802-321-4225. If nothing else, just to make sure the system works. How about that? You know, that'd be a nice gesture on the part of any listener out there. Okay, so it's been a busy week. Let's start with the craziness out of New York City, where that CEO of a health insurance company was gunned down in the middle of Midtown Manhattan at around 6 in the morning. And then there was this manhunt for the man who did this and was seen basically, well, the whole thing was seen, really. You see the guy at Starbucks before he even goes to kill this guy. You see him killing the... I don't watch videos like that, but the video is out there. There's actual video of him shooting the person on the sidewalk. It's truly horrible. Then there's video of him leaving. There's video of him riding a bike through Central Park. There's video of him riding a bike outside of Central Park on the Upper West Side. There's video of him going into a bus station at the George Washington Bridge, which, by the way, I did not know existed. There's a Port Authority bus terminal up there, too. I didn't know that. So there's a lot of video, a lot of In fact, he stayed at a youth hostel near the Upper West Side, where he actually revealed his face because an employee there asked him to, and he didn't think he was in any danger of being found out. That was before the shooting. And then he was finally captured in a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And there's a lot here. There is so much here as far as the way people have reacted to this, the way the whole manhunt was undertaken. The as you heard on Amy's show before, the I guess disproportionate amount of time we spent focused on this. Yes, we're talking about it now, but we're more talking about the social aspects of it and the weirdness of this case. For one thing, you know, everyone's thanking the cops. All praise to the cops. Bow down to the cops. Usual thing. Hey, you know, I respect any cop who respects the people that he's serving or she's serving. But I do think it gets a little bit out of hand sometimes because there are a lot of people out there doing courageous things every day. And they deserve credit as well. So in this particular case, everything that happened, all of the surveillance footage, at least most of it anyway, the significant parts, it was done by private entities, private people. You know, the youth hostel had their own camera system. There was a building on the street where the CEO was shot. They got that footage. It was all pretty much independent people. Now, you know, the cops saw some of that video, started looking around Central Park for any evidence. I saw pictures of cops just basically strolling down Fifth Avenue outside of Central Park, looking very relaxed, and that was part of the search, as if the guy was going to throw evidence outside the wall of Central Park on Fifth Avenue. And then you had people, actual civilians, who were engaged in the search as well. And that's what happened in that McDonald's in Altoona, is a civilian recognized the guy and had a McDonald's employee call the cops. The cops came and arrested him. All glory to the cops. Look, okay, you know, again, respect cops. They have a difficult job, but pretty much everything here was done by civilians or private entities. And let's give some credit to them as well. They did the heavy lifting here. I'm not really sure what the cops did, you know. They spread the information around, but the media could have done that. You know, it wasn't that much. They were looking. Yeah, they were diving into the Great Lake in Central Park looking for the gun. Didn't find it because it wasn't there. They found the backpack, which, you know, okay, good. But you kind of knew it had to be somewhere in Central Park because the guy, after he left Central Park, didn't have a backpack, and the guy in Central Park did, so you know, it's not that hard to find the backpack. And now, okay, they arrested him, which went without incident, basically. You know, can you put down your mask? Can you show me your ID? Yeah, you are this person. Would you please come with me? That was it. That was the whole thing. So, yeah, okay, good job, guys. Everybody got together, but I think, you know, this is an indication of people power, basically. Yeah, this guy should not be on the loose, although it's weird. And they talked about this on Democracy Now! As well, the reaction. A lot of people cheering, which I think is not right. You know, cheering when somebody is gunned down in the middle of the street. No, I don't care what you think about insurance companies. I don't care what you think about injustice and all sorts of things like that. Yeah, it's something that needs to be fought. That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to get people on your side, for sure. And it's just kind of weird to see, you know, I expect to see people condemning the healthcare system in this country, the healthcare companies, absolutely. And I'm all on board for that. But as far as, you know, cheering this guy being killed, and you don't even know what he had to do with it. Yeah, he's a CEO, obviously. But he wasn't single-handedly responsible. But, you know, obviously it's something that the entire healthcare industry is now very concerned about. And that discussion, maybe it'll get them to rethink the way they do things. I don't know. We'll have to see. The the family of Luigi Mangione, the suspect in the December 4th murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, reported him missing in November after he withdrew from social contact following surgery on his back. This whole thing could be because of back pain, which, you know, is torture for a lot of people. No excuse here, but trying to understand motivations behind why people do the things they do. So, yeah, he's 26 years old. He was reported missing on the 18th of November. Family members became worried. They lost touch with him. A message from relatives had earlier been circulated asking for help finding him after he had undergone back surgery a few months previously. And I'm sure more is going to come out about this. But basically, he had chronic back problems that he seems to have suffered since childhood. Reddit posts that matched the description of him talked about dealing with, I'm going to try to pronounce this, spondylolisthesis. Wow. A condition where vertebrae, often in the lower back, slips out of place. Now, that condition had become much more severe after a surfing accident. The person alleged to be the killer said, "My back and hips locked up after the accident left him terrified of the implications." The owner of Surf Break, which is a housing community in Honolulu, where Mangione had lived for a few months, said that he had struggled from the back pain that could force him to stay in bed for days. It was really traumatic and difficult. You know, in your early 20s, and you can't do some basic things. After he went through surgery, Mangione sent a text showing x-ray images. And according to the owner of Surf Break, he said it looked heinous with just giant screws going into his spine. There was something going on as far as that goes. And we don't know what the health insurance company did or did not do. But it points to a lot of anger with the way people are treated. And, yeah, that's got to change. Not because of the threat of imminent death for CEOs, because it's the right thing to do, because it should be the law that they cover things and not put people who are already going through hell through additional hell. Now, this is kind of interesting. I mentioned that he was caught in a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Guess what? People are review bombing that McDonald's. Yes, it's true. You want to hear some of them? Okay. This location has rats in the kitchen that will make you sick, and your insurance isn't going to cover it. You find that funny, Kyle? You're bent over laughing.
What would make you say
that? Allusion to rats, obviously. Do not stop here if you're an American hero. They will sell you out, another review said. More like Narc Donald's. I hope obesity and heart disease are in network in Pennsylvania. Deny, defend, depose, diarrhea at McDonald's. I should point out also that deny, defend, depose were written on shell casings of the bullets that he fired. Which, you know, that speaks to forethought. That speaks to real intent there, that he would write a message that could be found after you shoot your victim. Boy. These reviews, I got to say, that's something. That's something. I mean, I don't know why anybody would review a McDonald's. They're all pretty much the same. Yelp is handling this in a different way. Their site has shut down reviews of that Altoona location. In fact, several Altoona locations. But the old reviews are still there. And if you try to pull up the reviews for these McDonald's on Yelp, you're greeted by an unusual activity alert. This business recently received increased public attention, which often means people come to this page to post their views on the news. While we don't take a stand one way or the other when it comes to this incident, we've temporarily disabled posting of content to this page as we work to investigate whether the content you see here reflects actual consumer experiences rather than the recent events. Please note that we apply the same policy regardless of the business and regardless of the topics at issue. What else? We have a few more reviews here, a few more Yelp old reviews. Some are funny, some are sad, but they all express anger at American healthcare and support for the killer, the alleged killer. Avoid this McDonald's location. They're out of your network, the first one-star review said. This food will send you to an early grave, and no health insurance will cover that. They're in the business of denials. Another review, the staff was rude, and they called the police on my friend Luigi. There were rats everywhere. Never eating at this McDonald's again. Went in for a Big Mac and instead watched Officer Snitchy McSnitch, Employee of the Month, call the cops on a hero. The guy was just enjoying his McNuggets after literally uniting Americans, but this cashier hit 911 faster than he's ever made a McFlurry. All right, well, a couple of things here. He was caught early in the morning, right? That was my understanding. Kyle, you know something of American culture. Can you get McNuggets early in the morning? I thought that was something that was after 11 o'clock.
For all I know, it's a full day endeavor.
Is it a full day? Because
I don't know.
I know people got into huge fights about this.
Yeah, maybe you can't get... Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, I'm going to finish, I promise.
the breakfast nuggets.
These are just too good not to read. The fries were cold, just like this employee's heart. I hear he got promoted to assistant manager for his outstanding citizenship. And, of course, the ice cream machine was broken. Okay, whatever. You know, I wouldn't expect that. You know, I expect some cold-heartedness for the CEO, but... For turning in the guy who killed him on the streets of Manhattan, you're going to give that guy crap? You're going to make his life miserable? That's, you know, that's cold. That's awful. And I really hope we get past that. Okay, not a single call, huh?
Not yet.
Well, you know, that first call is always the most difficult one because nobody wants to be the first.
Throw that number up again.
All right, I'll
throw it. Is that 801 or 802?
Did I get the wrong? No, 801 is Utah.
Utah, yeah. We're not doing 801.
No, it's Vermont. 802-321-4225. You know, some people might think it's a trick. It's not a trick. It's perfectly safe to call Vermont. People do that every day. It's just another area code. It's what they call a virtual number. It doesn't have a location. It's not really in Vermont. It's just 10 numbers. And since we're not actually at the studio... We can't use the studio line. I mean, we could use the studio line if we had this amazing feature called call forwarding, but that's beyond the realm of university phone system right now. So we have our own phone, and it works. You know, we use it on the other radio show, and it's worked great for actually years. 802-321-4225.
This is our contribution, giving back to... all the listeners who support community radio, you can be on the air with us.
Did you hear that? We have a phone call.
That is a call. I'm going to go ahead and accept
it. Yeah, accept that call, and we will have our first caller on Off the Wall in about 5 years, maybe, yeah, about 4.5 years, I think. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, fellows.
Hey, how's it going? And where are you calling from?
I'm doing okay. Happy New Year and all of that, since it's been a couple of New Years since I've heard you guys. I'm calling from Riverhead.
Oh, wow, Riverhead. Okay. Congratulations on getting your first two dispensaries in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, is that right? Are they illegal?
Well, it's legal everywhere, but they haven't been opening. And the east end of Long Island has only had the native dispensaries opening at the reservations. But... In Riverhead there are two that opened in the past couple of weeks, and hopefully we get one in Brookhaven sometime.
Oh, I'm sure that'll happen, right?
Uh-huh. So are you a regular listener?
I am, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I've called a million times before. My name's Jerry.
Jerry, have you been waiting all this time for the phone lines to open up again?
I have, as a matter of fact, and to tell you the truth, it was 6:01, and I gotta tune in. And, you know, sometimes I miss the show, sometimes I don't. But I lucked out because this is a special occasion. I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Yeah, this is one instance where you can't listen to the archive and call in. You have to call in while we're on live. That's the only restriction that we impose.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. We haven't perfected time travel yet. But this is great, though. So you've been listening for the past 4.5 or so, maybe 5 years, since we last took a phone call. I guess you have a lot to get off your chest.
It's actually been a lot longer than that. Now, you know, to tell you the truth, just trying to think of, you know, I mean, I miss you guys and all the, you know, and all the chat and everything. I'm glad I'm here.
I wish I could come up with something
a little better, but.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, what do you think about the state of Long Island? Have things gotten better or worse in the past few years?
You know what? Not for anything. Most of my friends have all beat feet. You know, they've all retired and gone down south. Some have gone north, northeast, and all like that. It's not the same. I was born here. I'm old. I was born in '64, and as a matter of fact, it's not the same place it always was. But mm-hmm. Nothing really changed. I mean, everything changes. Nothing's going to stay the same. You know, there are people that are, you know, boneheads, and there are people that are boneheads. You know,
mm-hmm. I hear you.
But how things have changed. I see there's a lot less, I'm not sure if the intolerance, is that the word, intolerance?
Oh, yeah, that's the word. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and a lot of people aren't as tolerant of anything as they were back in the old days.
Yeah, a lot more intolerance, absolutely. Intolerance towards people, towards migrants, towards... progress, even, you know, I'm a bit fascinated by what's going to happen next month, because that's when, in a way, I'm kind of glad that, okay, you guys, you won the election, you get to carry the ball for a while. Let's see how you do, because everything they do wrong, they're going to have to account for. Not that they will, but hopefully people, like people on Long Island, will take note and remember. I mean, prices are probably going to soar as a result of tariffs and things like that. There's all kinds of things that could get completely messed up that I don't think we realized were being taken care of at least adequately over the past 4 years.
Well, if the tariff thing, you know, and if, you know, King Midas, whatever his name is, if he really does go through with all the tariffs and things like that, we'll have to see. And you're right, prices probably will skyrocket, but we'll see. I mean, maybe it's a businessman sense. I don't know. Maybe it's I'm not a politician type of thing. I'm more of a business guy. Maybe mm-hmm. there's something to be said about him. I don't really know, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I know a lot of small business people who basically kind of bought into what they were being told by Republicans, that things are much worse now, and that you're being taxed and prices are going up. But in fact, you know, all the economic issues were global economic issues. United States has done much better than even the UK or Canada or places like that. And, you know, small businesses are always tough. I don't know how well small businesses will do with tax cuts to billionaires that Trump is super into continuing to do and not really helping small businesses as much as people claim or hope that he will do. This guy has been voted in by the American people, and now we get to see what he actually does. And this time he won't have those people that are grown-ups in the room that will tell him, don't do that because that's stupid. He's going to have people who follow him no matter where he decides to go. And, look, either we're completely wrong about how inept and crazy things are going to be, or we're in for quite a roller coaster ride.
Well, he does, like you said, he gave a certain group of people a voice. Okay? And he seemed to have taken that and gone above and beyond their speech. How do I say it? They've gone above and beyond. They've made everybody aware of, you know, what they're all about and everything like that. Like you said, we'll just have to see what happens. At the very least, I guess I can say that I'm hopeful, but I'm curious at the same, not curious.
I'm very curious.
I'm curious at the same time. I can't think of the word, but
well, I mean,
curious at the same time.
You have to keep a positive attitude. I mean, it's very easy to be completely defeatist after what happened last month. But just remember, you're still who you are. There are still plenty of people who believe the things that they believe in, and this is not, you know, there's a lot of parallels people make to the beginnings of Nazi Germany. I don't think we're anywhere near that. We have a much stronger opposition. We have, I think, a fairly educated populace in many places, not everywhere, obviously. I have faith in the common person to see when something is wrong, truly wrong, and to realize when they're being lied to. I was hoping they'd realize it sooner. But okay, you know, we can wait a little bit, and that way we'll get emphatic proof of who is on their side and who is not on their side, because I don't get how anybody who is not a millionaire can say, yeah, Donald Trump is one of us and stands for me. You know, the proof will come pretty quickly, I think.
Well, that's for sure. I've got friends, you know, all over the world, and I knew when this had happened, I knew that night, the day after, I was going to get emails and phone calls saying, you guys did it again, huh?
But we're not the only ones. You know, other countries do the same thing. It's just, it's not as dramatic when it happens to them. Like, you know, in the Netherlands, they might vote in a fascist, or France, or Germany, or, you know, and any number of countries, particularly Eastern European countries. But they have parliamentary systems where you have coalitions, and it's possible that somebody could win and still not have power, and the whole thing could reverse in a couple of years. And it's different for us. We have a bizarre system where the majority doesn't always win, even when they do. It'll be a little trickier. But I think maybe we need to go through this so that we know what matters and what needs to be changed.
Maybe it won't happen again. Tell me something. I don't know this. Did he actually win the majority?
He won the majority, but not by nearly as much as was initially thought. So it's a razor-thin majority in the popular vote. He still won the Electoral College, and unfortunately in this country that's all that matters. Basically you've had a lot of Republican power bolstered by the races downstream, you know, the local races,
right,
where they're able to populate legislatures and state senates and things like that and gain an undue amount of power. Even when they lose, they win. They're playing by the rules, but they're not playing in the spirit of the rules. And that, you know, a lot has to change. The gerrymandering has to go away. It's all sorts of things that, pollute the democratic aspect of our system.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I had friends of mine tell me, oh, it's a landslide. And I was like, I don't think so. But
no.
I wasn't sure. I didn't think it was a landslide either.
It definitely was not a landslide.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But like you said, we'll just have to sit back. And I don't want to say we'll have to sit back and let everything just crumble. Okay, I'm not that, I guess, defeatist. But
yeah,
we'll just have to sit back and see what happens. But then again, you don't want to point fingers at the end. But I guess you know who to blame, quote unquote. You know who to blame.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that bugs me, I don't like all the finger pointing. You know, the election was lost because not enough people voted for the other side. And a lot of people voted for Trump. And that's really the only reason. I think, you know, Harris ran a really good campaign. I don't think it could have been much better. Could have been different. Could have been inclusive in different ways. But there are people who say she should have been more pro-Palestinian. Yeah, but then you would have lost a pro-Israel vote. Could have been more pro-Israel. Then you would have lost more pro-Palestinian people. You know, there is no winning in that kind of politics. You have to play a very a cautious game. She did well with that. She respected everybody. She gave everybody a voice. And, yeah, I know there are always exceptions to this, but I hadn't seen a campaign that was as sincere as hers from the Democrats in quite a while. And I don't think they'll do much better than that. So I think what has to change is us and what we believe and how we're taken in, you know, by what disinformation is fed to us by various right-wing media outlets and Republican politicians.
Well, I thought myself that she ran a pretty solid, I'm going to call it competition.
Yes.
You know, that's what I'm going to call it. I thought she did well, and to tell you the truth, I thought she did so well that I didn't think that we'd be having this conversation, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, just based on the number of people who said, you know, I'm voting for Trump. I don't like Trump, but I like what he stands for. And then when asked a question about Harris, I'm not voting for Harris because I don't like her. So, you know, when it's a person of color who's a woman, all of a sudden her personality traits are enough to stop it. But when it's a rich white billionaire, doesn't matter what he says or does, I'm going to trust him. There's something uneven about that.
Well, in my family, I'm actually African-American. In my family, I knew a lot. I'd have to say most of the women in the family, okay, were going to vote for her because I guess it would be sort of a part of history, okay? Not only the first woman president,
mm-hmm.
first African-American president. You know, granted that a lot of...
Well, we had one already. You're aware of Obama, right?
Oh, woman.
Okay, all right, yes.
Yeah. Unless there's something I don't know about him. Uh-huh. But, yeah, he would have been, you know, she would have been the first, you know, African-American woman, you know. And I said, oh, that, you know, would have been great. And it was more of a historical thing. And, you know, not everybody knows a lot about politics, but, you know, they had their reasons. And there were some who didn't really care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then when this happened, they're the first people that, you know, they're the first ones that you see screaming and carrying on. Just walking around Manhattan when they had the, not the convention, I guess, it's the, whatever they were selling tickets to or whatever.
The thing at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
The Trump rally.
I couldn't believe the amount of Hispanic and black African-Americans that were, you know, flogging his gear. The hats, the T-shirts. Have you guys heard about the guitars yet?
You know, there's all kinds of crap out there. And, you know, no one group is immune from any of this. And whether you're taking advantage of it economically or actually buying into the nonsense that he spouts, you know, you can't point to any race, religion, anything, and say, oh, they're too smart for that. They won't fall for it. Everybody's human, and everybody has their weaknesses. And I think we saw a good demonstration of that. But the one thing that really bugs me, you know, people criticize Harris's campaign, but what about Trump's campaign? It was one of the most awful, mismanaged campaigns. He didn't make contact with people, individual people. It was just all these massive rallies and the same thing over and over again. He said so much that made absolutely no sense. He even said he didn't believe that Kamala Harris was black. He said, oh, this is new.
Okay, someone well, that's just nonsense.
But he got away with it.
Thing.
He got away. Right. He got away with everything he said. All these insane people that he had around him spouting all kinds of nonsense. And you know, the media just tried to, you know, both sides everything and make it all equal. And it was nothing like equal. So this is going to be our government. This is going to be. These people are going to be in charge now. You know, I just hope there's somebody that can keep him away from the nuclear button. Everything else falls apart, we can recover from that. But, boy, it's going to be a rodeo, I'll tell you that.
I have a friend who lives in Germany, and that's exactly what she said.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what she said. Just keep tape over the red button. That's exactly what she
well,
said.
Well, make another red button and just tell him that's the one, you know?
Yeah, that's all. He can play with that. Maybe one of those, what are those buttons they sell? That easy off, the button that just makes noise when you push on or whatever it is.
I'm sure there are some sane people that are planning things like that. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
He won't know the difference.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep.
I mean, I really honestly wish that it was a different outcome. And you're right about her.
Well, look at it this way. Look at it this way. It wasn't the outcome we wanted, but the way it was handled was exactly the way you're supposed to handle these things. You know, it's we lost, we admit we lost, peaceful transfer of power, something that other side could never do. And, you know, I want to say maybe that's enough to convince people who the right side is, but, you know, I don't believe that anymore. I think people are going to constantly do the wrong thing because they're easily manipulated. But I'm kind of proud of the way that was handled. There was no, like, you know, obstinate behavior.
He actually did win. None of that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't rigged. He won, unfortunately, and we have some soul searching to do. I mean, as the American people, we have some soul searching, you know, and I think that's going to become quite an issue in the months and, God, years ahead. Listen, yeah, we're going to move on. Thank you so much for your call. It was great hearing from you, and hopefully you...
Not a problem, and I'll try to check in again next week.
Yes, definitely.
Good enough, then. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Take care. And the phone line is open if anybody else wants to call in. That was a great call. Great return.
Great.
Yeah, it's good quality and everything like that. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. We only have a few minutes left.
One down, yeah. First call in a very long time.
Yeah. Hey, so Syria got overthrown. The Syrian government got overthrown. You think
I
about
heard
that?
About this. Yeah, it just seemed like the right time, you know?
Well, it's crazy because, yeah, I didn't realize this. And I think a lot of people didn't realize this, but... all the powers that were supporting the horrible Syrian regime, the Assad regime, they were kind of busy, you know. Russia, very busy in Ukraine, and Iran and Hezbollah, who supported the Syrian regime, dealing with Israel's attacks. And, you know, if I believed for a second that Israel cared about anyone other than Israel, I would say, okay, that was a good thing. That was well done. But I don't think that... In fact, they're even bombing Syria right now. Israel has bombed Syria 480 times. Yes, since this all happened, since the overthrow of the regime. Now, if they're taking out chemical weapons and various other things... maybe that's a good thing, and maybe the Syrian people even would prefer that. If they're killing people, innocent civilians, as is their custom, it seems, no, that is not acceptable. Now, this is a tremendous opportunity, both for the United States, for Israel, for the Western world, to basically make friends in a very important place. These rebels that have won, they are... They have a background. Who doesn't have a background in that region? But if you want to overthrow a regime, you have to pretty much hang out with some unsavory types. And yeah, there are Al-Qaeda like connections and even ISIS connections.
That's all in the past and notwithstanding. The present moment puts them at the center of what is now a power vacuum and the enemy of our enemy. I mean, it's really the things they're saying... diplomatically, like they're intimating a different sort of leadership than a lot of the groups and actors in states that have overthrown similar power vacuums, even Afghanistan, a la the exit of American troops. So in this moment, it actually is probably wise for us to see exactly, maybe not as much their words long term, but what their actions are as far as what they're building in that power vacuum. And if we're able to navigate or thread some sort of diplomatic path, I think it is beneficial because every bit of use value they had as in a proxy power struggle with those great powers being allied with the Assad regime, if an ally, someone like us, or some other group of powers steps in, that then becomes advantageous, as you said, both by location and other reasons.
It's a rare opportunity, both for the United States and Israel, to get on the right side of this. Imagine Syria as an ally. That could change everything. But, continuing with our ways of doing things, that's going to drive them to bad sides, and this will never end. Hey, we have one more phone call. We only have a couple minutes. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, welcome to New York. we have less than 2 minutes though, so please be quick.
Well, I wanted to talk about the I don't know if you want to call it assassination. Not really the assassination, but the
people have said that. People have called it that.
Cold heart. What you said was cold hearted. Lee over the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was something.
I think people are just really desperate for something to latch onto. Mm-hmm. And seeing someone, anyone, take an action, even the wrong action.
Yeah.
I think that's the draw. And I think a lot of it will blow over. It's not really that people are celebrating murder. It's just that they're really downtrodden. And if, I don't know how much people pay attention to the chronic pain community, but if you look at some of
course,
those people on social media right now, they're not applauding murder. They're just impressed that anyone who is in that much pain could do what he did.
Right, right.
And get as far as he did.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but we also have to remember we're civilized people, and this is not how we deal with conflicts like this. But now that the conversation has started, maybe there's another path we can use to address these very important issues. I'd love to have this conversation longer. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show, but please call back next week, assuming we're taking calls next week, and we'll be happy to discuss it longer. And also write to us, otw@2600.com is our email address. Thank you, Kyle, for setting all this up.
Oh, is that me?
That's you, yeah, yeah. It's incredible that we can take phone calls again. I feel like I'm seeing people after being in prison for a very long time.
You're going to have to build some furniture next.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Big plans.
Yeah,
big
plans. Big plans.
It's going to be all different, all spectacular. You know, do a little over here, put something over there.
Good night.
Whether reggae rocker, I think I live for one. sister. I'm with the rock, I'm with the rock, I'm with the rocking non-stop. I'm with the rock, I'm with the very last time. That is a reggae rock, I say that is a rebel rock. And it's a little one, I come for nice something. I'm with the rock, I'm with the rock, I'm with the rocking non-stop. And I rock it, I'm with rocking to the very last time. Coming with the cash on a UK ship. And it's a little woman, it's a rocker, it's a low. It's a kind of business I've never seen before. But it's a little one, will keep the lighting off the floor. You dump it like Addison, then you dump it like Alice. You dump it from the supper to the very last time.
I live in a make-believe world, but I never want to return to the place I went to last night. Oh, no. Sure is a funny party. What's this? Why are all these people so tired? I can't understand their mumbling. That was what I call a lousy party. Those people were using hard drugs, like smack and downers. Why, I've heard that many of the downers are low-grade animal tranquilizers, unfit for human consumption. Oh, it's a terrible risk, but I guess some folks think that being out of it is being in. I hope that none of my friends fall for it. There are better ways to party, yeah. That's all, folks.